Last week, we ended up on page 8 for those of you that are following the handout. And the last one that the Lord had us go through is change, new strength, new understanding. I'm going to highlight a couple of things out of that. We're not going to review as such. But the first thing he said was change is in the atmosphere. Change is the great is the change of the portion of that change. Great is the portion of the change that's coming. I want to remind us that we're not responsible for the change. He is. We are responsible for the obedience of the change that he's bringing. It's not our responsibility to bring it. Our responsibility, as we well know, sit, listen. Listen is part of the change that he's bringing. And that we're only to hearken to the change that we heard, that he brought, when we are listening. One other thing he said, if my memory serves me right, is not only the change a great change, but that everything had not been laid out yet, or everything had not been revealed about that change. So it meant that we were walking into change, but in some cases we didn't know the next step to take until we once again listen and then hearken, because he says take another step. Okay, I'm going to read a lot of different scriptures this morning. I'll try to go slow enough that you can pick them up, but once again, the Holy Spirit has something to say prior to us getting into reading the words. I'd like to see another show of hands of the number of you that have been bombarded in your mind in an attack that you're walking in, not walking in, that the enemy continually tries to bring you under condemnation for your time. May I see your hands? Okay. I believe it's his number one effort to destroy us or to delay us in bringing in a level of condemnation because we're not doing enough. We're not pressing enough. We're not fasting enough. We're not praying enough. We're not ever doing enough, enough, enough. I will remind you in the handout that you have that covered 6 to 7 weeks, there was only one time that the Lord himself, in those present-day speakings, used the word repent. There are many, many times that he used the word that he was well pleased. Many, many times he has used the word, I'm looking grateful, I'm rejoicing, I'm excited about what you're doing, who you are, and where we're going together. He only used the word repent once, and I addressed it in one of the previous services when we went over these, that it was the only one that concerned me as to where it was placed within his mind, within a service, and it was Gary Carpenter's service. And I now have a better answer because he was preparing us to realize that we only had to repent or turn around and walk another direction, and that he was reminding us He was not yelling. He was not screaming. He was in full love saying, really, really, really be careful of this one thing, because everything else I'm well pleased with. Everything else you bring me joy. Everything else we're having fellowship with. Everything else. But be reminded of this. And it was, let me find it so I can read it exactly. It was January the 17th. No other avenue but truth. The title of the service, for those of you that look up the services, is Casting Down Reasonings. And within there, this statement came forth. The spirit of truth tried to flow. The spirit of truth has no other avenue but truth. Repent that you may believe. So he's saying over and over again that his word and his present day speaking is truth. And if there's anything outside of that that you're believing, please repent and believe the truth. Just believe the truth. Okay. Revelation 12:11. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then Paul sums up the whole book of Ephesians by verse 8. He says the following, finally, brethren, that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Finally, brethren, finally, family, finally, prayer center, do this. Do this one thing. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, what if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. If you take those items, I hope we all understand that our enemy has not a single one of those things in his mind. He has no truth. He has no virtue. He thinks on nothing that is lovely. He thinks on no good reports. He has no praise. From his mind and every one of his cohorts, they have none of those items. And they continually try to bombard your mind with the opposite of those. tell him, get out of your life. Use your authority. Jesus, will you please remove all these thoughts from me? And Jesus is looking back at each one of us saying, I gave you all the authority to take care of him. I can't take care of him because I'm in heaven. You're on earth. Take care of him. Tell him to shut up. Tell him to get out of your life. It's not enough to tell him to shut up. It's only enough to overcome him by the word of your testimony, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. The word of your testimony, this here is your testimony. And every present day speaking and every personal word that you've received, this is your testimony, because every one of those are found, their root is found in here, or they're not a true word. A true word is living. A true word is alive. A true word never, ever dies. A true word always grows, because it is a seed placed inside of you. That's how you will overcome him. That's how you will get out of the level of condemnation. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. This does not negate or weaken or lessen specific instructions that he's given you. I have a friend, a good friend, that the Lord is told to do confessions 3 hours a day. I have another friend that the Lord said, you're to pray and walk 4 hours a day. Close to 4 months ago, they've never made one day that they have walked 4 hours and prayed. But they are still walking. Amen. And they are still pressing. I have another individual that the Lord said, I want you to sit in my presence and be still. Now, if I went over there and sat down and just did nothing, and the stillness hit this room, all of us were saying, what in the world's going on? Be still. Okay. You remember the service we had? The Lord said, I want you to wait on me for 15 minutes. It happened to be that I had the mic. It was a conference. Boy, this is going to be foolish. This is stupid. Whatever else my soul was telling me. Well, it's because you don't have anything to say. Dave's never done it. You know, neither has Gary. He's never done it. So out of sheer, probably more fear than obedience, I said, we're going to try this. Remember, you're not responsible for change. You're responsible for obedience. Within that 15 minutes, there was more words that came forth because he had something to say, and he knew that he didn't have the mic in his hand, so he wanted the people to hear what he had to say more than what he wanted me to say, even though I had something to say that he had told me to say. But the bottom line of it is, he wanted to speak to you individually. And he wanted you to hear his voice. And he wanted you to recognize that he's as close as your heart. He's not outside your heart. He's as close as your heart. And he had something to say. I think it was Bernard who got a whole revelation of something for the internet that no one even knows about yet today. On and on and on. This individual, Lord said, sit, be still. He just recently told me that he entered a room, that the stillness in that room was the loudest sound he has ever heard. There, you're going to be here. You're going to be able to hear what God wants to say. First John 3:21-22. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17. And so whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto man. Whatsoever things you do, do heartily unto the Lord. Do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now we're going to take a moment, just a moment. Close your eyes. And think about one thing that you have done since we last were together, that you did, and it was pleasing in his sight. That is what you're to be filling your heart and your mind with. For sure it was pure. For sure it was pleasing. For sure it was a good report. For sure it had the attributes of what we're to be filling our mind with, what we are to be thinking about. Your lifestyle, every single one of you, every single one of you, in the sound of my voice, is full of things that you are doing that are pleasing in his sight, that are outside of a direct commandment. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And if I gave each one of you the mic, you have the same thing happening day after day after day after day, and the enemy comes and steals the joy of obedience, because he does not want you to realize that you are pleasing in his sight. Because he certainly is not pleasing in the Lord's sight. And he wants you to think the way he thinks, not the way you are, and not who you are. You can write down this definition and see how it fits. See if you enjoy it. See if your heart sings over it. If not, then just scratch it out of your notes. Work or instructions. The definition is, are acts of grace that you do, acts of grace that you do, that we have received from Him, that are pleasing in His sight. Every act, every instruction is within the grace that you've received, and He does not sit by idly while the sons of God work. You do it together. I'll read it again. Work/instructions are acts of grace that we do, that we have received from Him, that are pleasing in His sight. Several weeks ago, the question was asked, how do we bring pleasure to the Lord? Lord, how do I bring you pleasure? How do I bring you pleasure? This morning, the word that we're going to begin, the present day speaking, is precious your use of my words. Is a mighty, mighty way. Phenomenal. Extraordinary way to bring Him pleasure. Let's begin. Do you know how precious your use of my word is? Stop. It's nice to know that when the Lord asks us a question, He doesn't need your answer. There's not a question that He can ask you that He doesn't already have the answer. But it is a, wait a minute, He asked me a question. No sense reading the rest until I answer the question. Do you know how precious your use of my word is? And the answer is no. A two-letter word. Does anybody say, yes, I know exactly how precious your use of my word is? When this first came forth, I was ashamed that I never realized that all the confession and all of the use of His word in my life, bringing it inwardly, was precious to Him. It's always been a responsibility. It's always been a command. It's always been I didn't confess enough. It's always been me, me, me. I never looked into the heart of the Father and seen what He liked, He enjoyed, how much pleasure it was bringing. It opened a door of freedom. No longer was it a command. No longer was it a responsibility. No longer could the enemy say, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. It became a level of fellowship, a level of friendship, and as he says, a letter of relation, a time of relationship and fellowship. So let's read. Do you know how precious your use of my word is? It is as tenderly intimate to me as your times of expressing your heart to me in worship. Sure doesn't feel like that. I've never had, I shouldn't say never, very seldom when I am speaking His word do my emotions rise up like the praise and worship that was taking place this morning, or when I enter the Father's presence in praise and worship. All of my emotions, or all that I allow to be exposed or that He's allowed to anoint. But doing confessions, calling myself healed, saying, I have the mind of Christ, saying as he is, so am I in this earth? I've never seen it. And maybe you're like me. I've never seen it from his perspective, that I was having fellowship with him that he was taking great pleasure in, because I was saying what he was saying. Now, when I watch my children or grandchildren do things that I've taught them, and they're becoming what I want them to become in a certain area, I'm amazed. Number one, they can do it better than I ever did it anyway. And that I've passed it on to the next generation, whatever it is. But in this case, the Lord's saying, I'm taking great pleasure in you saying what I say. And you're becoming what I am. And you're using the tool that I give you, incidentally the only tool, you're speaking my word to bring it to pass. There are other tools to conform to his image. But what he's saying is, I'm taking great pleasure. It's beyond just confession. Is our conversation together. I'm listening to you and you're listening to me and you're saying what I said, and there's a oneness and we're in a unity. Okay. The next line or the next sentence in your handout, I would underline, I would capitalize, I would put on your mirror in your bathroom, I would say it to your friends every time you meet them. The foundation of all relationships is truth, and my word is truth. The foundation for all relationships cannot be founded outside of truth. Have you ever had a friend who lied to you all the time? There is very little relationship, and there is almost absolutely no fellowship, because relationship is developed first and you go into fellowship. You stop listening to him or them. Anything that they say has no meaning, no relevance whatsoever, because you don't know that it's truth. That's how we should treat the enemy. And that's what he's trying to do for you to treat the Lord. He's trying to convince you that everything that he has to say is truth, where it's totally lies. I consider it a time of intimacy when you speak truthfully about yourself to me through the speaking of my word. It is my delight when you speak of yourself according to my word, for our union or our oneness is in these truths you speak. We are united in truth. My nature in you is truth. My words are truth. I have given you the spirit of truth to lead you into all truth. We are united in truth. Each time you draw near to me, I am ever with you and ever ready for you as you approach me. I never leave you or forsake you. I am always near to you and welcome each time you draw near to me. Our life together is a fellowship, and as you are conformed to the truth through the understanding of it, you will understand more just how dear to me this fellowship with you is. Our fellowship is everything to me. You are everything to me. Intimacy is you drawing close to my truth, for your life, for our life together is in truth. I consider it sweet. I consider it intimate when you take times of speaking my word to me in the process of transforming your soul. In any intimate relationship, truth is the foundation, and my word is truth. As you come to me in worship with the truth of my word and what it says about you, you have stepped into that place of sweet fellowship, of you being truthful about yourself. Underline this: just as I am always truthful about myself. We have the capacity to walk in truth about ourselves as he walks in truth about himself. He's never lied about himself. Never. Incidentally, he never bragged about himself either. But you can find nowhere in the Word where he ever denied who he really was. He always confirmed it. And he's asking us that everything he has said about us, to never deny what he has said about us, and to do that and to be that and to live that, he's saying, only say the truth that I've said about you, not what everyone else is saying or has said. The core, the center, the heart of our relationship is the truth about me and the truth about you. That's the core. That's the center. That's the heart of all of our relationship and all of our fellowship with him. Nothing outside of the truth is in fellowship or in relationship with him. Our relationship revolves around this. So understand when I say that your times with me of embracing my truth and your times with me of worshiping me based on truth are very sweet to me indeed. Whenever you take my word and fill your mouth and heart with truth to be conformed to it, these are treasured times to me. It is very satisfying when choices are made for me by choosing my word. My heart rejoices at the truth in you. Underline in you. Not that you've heard and it stays in a hearing mode. Not that you've seen and read and it stays in the seeing and the reading mode. It's the truth that's in you, as we've heard time again, okay, that the truth was in Jesus. It's a merger of soul. This is not a full def. It's a merger of soul and spirit, and they come together, and it's finally in you. We shared that before. You know, nobody can tell you that you're not born again. There's no longer any doubt. There's no longer any fear of where you're going. You have been born again, and it's in you. Would to God that everything that we have heard and everything that we've seen and read, we are in the process of getting us in us, and that is called abiding in him. All that truth. You are healed. You are full of wisdom. You are full of strength. You are prosperous. Okay. You are righteous. Get it in us. To get it in us, We've got to do just what we've read. Our fellowship is around that. My heart rejoices at the transformation it brings. This is the heart of our union, my word of life in you. Understand my pleasure each time you choose my word over everything you see and hear around you. And know my utmost pleasure as you allow my word to transform you through the use of it. At this point, I have three questions that you might want to write down. What word in you do you see? What word in you that you can see? Second, what word is in you that you can hear? And the third, what word is in you that you can use it? In your further studies, if you go to Matthew 13:23, Mark 4:20, and Luke 8:15, is a definition of good ground, the heart that is good ground. And there is where he says the same thing. What word is in you that you can see? What word is in you that you can hear? And what word is in you that you can use it to bring forth fruit? Until you can see the word that is in you, you will still see everything around you. There has to be a replacement. Until you hear the word in you, and that voice in you is louder than what you hear outside of you, it's not in you yet. I mean, the news, there's no need to even talk about the world. There's no reason to talk about all that's happening. You draw near to me when you draw near to truth. In other words, you get close to me. You bring me great pleasure. Great pleasure. The next one was February 7th, 2010. The last one on your handout, a firestorm of my life spread through you. Time is running out. This is why many know the importance of pressing into me. The runners are moving into places in me where I'm releasing things. And it will be so pleasing to me. In these places in me, I will begin to do things that the world has not seen. As you meditate through this in your private time, you and I are going to see things that the world has never seen. No matter how far you go out in any area of experience that you've read about, he's saying, I'm standing outside of that place, and your eyes are going to see things that the world has never seen. Because we're moving into that place. He's not talking about the earthquakes. not talking about the storms. He's not talking about everything that we already know. And in that side, we're going to see things that the world's never seen. But he's talking about his side, or what he's about ready to do. Like he has said, I've got more answer than the devil has questions. I'm the ocean, and all he is a drop in the ocean. That's all he is. He has nothing compared to what I'm about ready to do. That's what he's saying here. Look out, I'm coming. And you're going to see me. You're going to see me. And you're going to see me do things that the world has never seen. The world did see the parting of the Red Sea. The world did see Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. The world did see the flood. They don't believe it. They try, you know, bottom line of it is, it just doesn't matter. But he's saying, I'm going to do things that you've never seen, nor has the world ever, 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 ever seen. And you're going to get to see it with your eyes. You, not someone else, you are going to get to see it with your eyes. For many, the press is a push. How many feel that way? Come on. Come on. You know, a press means that I'm allowed to go at my own speed, but it seems like there's somebody behind me saying, come on, let's go, hurry up. You know, after all, I'm your strength. After all I've said, I'm going to teach you how to run. Up till now, you've been walking. I'm going to teach you how to run. And incidentally, I'm going to give you the strength to run. So why don't we run together? Why don't we run together? It's a push. Come on. Come on. And it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. Because the enemy is using what he can to make it hard to advance into me. However, runners do not stop and runners do not let up in their daily training with me, not weekly, not monthly, within a 24-hour period. That's who a disciple is. That is who a disciple is. Daily. Daily. It is a time of advancement. It is a time of a push forward into me. What I've been preparing in each one, I'm one of those each one. Say, I'm one of those each one. It's just not a special few. It's just not the person that's sitting next to me. It's me. What I have been preparing in each one who is running into me is nearer to being released. The armor you are dressed in is to be used to pray for all saints. If you turn to Ephesians, don't turn to it. We don't have time. Read Ephesians 6:10 through 6:19. 6:18 says this. It's amazing. After we put all the armor on, you know, breastplate, helmet, belt, shoes, totally dressed. What does he say to do with it? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We've missed it. Or at least we haven't put the right importance on. All of this armor is to not only win, and the sword is not only to win, but win for who? For all saints. For all saints. Pay attention at this hour. Uphold the family in prayer so that those who are susceptible to being trapped would be able to be free. It is critical. It's been said that we call ourselves an army, and we're the only army that kills their own wounded. That's a lie. We do not kill our own wounded. We pray for them and we hold them up. And incidentally, it's critical. It's critical. That's an instructions, people. That's an instructions. It is critical. For the things that lie ahead will require the peace found in me. Run as if a torch were in your hand, which I am keeping lit. That run is in the direction of Him. He has said it over and over again. It's not to run into works or run in, okay, I got to go here. It's to run into Him. Run into Him. I am causing the flames to burn brighter and stronger in this time with me. Run as if a torch were in your hands, being continually lit by your fellowship with me. See the image of igniters. This is being poured into those who are running into more and more of me. Use what I have poured into you and pray, upholding the strong and the weak alike, so that all might see more of me. As the igniting flames burn stronger, where you are, work, play, wherever, I will be able to move. Those who carry the flame of what? My love and power are those who walk in the nature of my love and the soundness of my truth. And because the fullness of my image is being built into you, I will be able to come where I send you and ignite the flames of revival through my love and truth once again that's in you. Because you are here, I am here in soundness of truth, in love, and in power. I will move, and fires will be started by each one I am allowed to move through in my love and truth. Let the fire of truth and love be as a firestorm of my life spread through you to others. Those who are my runners are the torchbearers of my love and truth, and the power of my spirit accompanies you. What in the world is a firestorm? One of the keys to, besides your spirit bearing witness that the present day speaking is truth, is that the Holy Spirit has an unlimited vocabulary because He created every word. And He pulled out of that unlimited vocabulary firestorm. And we read it. I read it. Forget you guys don't. I read it like, okay, firestorm. Like I think I know what it means. Like I read this once and say, okay, that's a good word. Yep, that's a good word. Send it out. And never look for the really, I never digest it. I never chew on it. I never question my mind. What in the world is a firestorm? In some of the words that the Lord has brought through Gary in the past, He has said, and you have read them, that he is no longer a man from Pottawatomie County because the Holy Spirit's not from there, and you read His words, and He uses words that He has to look up in the dictionary to find out what they mean, and sure enough, it's the exact right word that was in His heart, but He didn't know the right word, so Holy Spirit say this word. So you want the definition of firestorm? With this, we'll close. This is good. Firestorm. A large, extremely intense fire, sustained by strong, inwardly rushing winds that feed a rushing column of hot air a blaze. That's who you are. See you in 30 minutes.